This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adansami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Serdorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com. Welcome to America's Roundtable. Let me introduce Brent Lepke. He's a head mentor of the robotics team, our son's robotics team, who happened to wake up in the morning of October 7 under the sirens in Jerusalem. And so Brent was an electrical engineer, Raytheon technologist for 34 years, designing space-based systems. In 2006, he started the Fresno Valley Robotics Club in Midland, Virginia, and is now the chairman of the board of directors of Virginia STEM.
Hey, thank you for allowing me to speak this evening about Israel and tell our story about our relationship with Israel. It started back in 2012. Back then, we have a robotics program and part of the first robotics competition. And the way it worked is the organization had regionals all around the world, and you could pick which regional you wanted to go to. Most people went to regionals that were close by them, but we decided to go to Israel. And none of us had ever been to Israel. I ended up calling the Virginia-Israel Advisory Board to see how they could help us. And they put me in contact with a man named Eli Barak, who they happened to know somebody that had a robotics team over there. Their team was the Thunderbolts, and they invited us to stay with them in their homes, eating their amazing food, live with them for a week. Our students formed relationships that have continued. It was a wonderful experience. Looking back, we essentially invited ourselves over to them, and they received us with open arms. Unfortunately, the way the robotics program worked, they changed things, and it pretty much became impossible for us to go to an official competition over there. But this last spring, we were at the championship in Houston, and I met back up with Eli and his team, and he invited us to an off-season event in Hedera, Israel, at the Enerbox Arena the first week of October during Sukkot. This time it was really easy to answer the question as far as why we were going. It was the people of Israel. I really wanted the students on our team to experience the culture, the food, the relationships, the people that we experienced the last time that we were there. So on October 1st, we took the team to Israel. Once again, the Thunderbolts hosted our students in their homes of the students from their team, and we had an amazing experience. The competition was October 5th through the 6th. We had a great competition, ranking high in the qualifications, enough to play with the Thunderbolts in the elimination rounds, which is one of the goals of our students. Out of 36 teams, we're the only non-Israeli team there at the event, but the announcers were very gracious and announced in English while we were in any match, in the matches that we were playing in. After the competition, the plan was to do some touring in Israel for 4 days and then head back to the United States. So on Friday, the morning of October 6th, we headed to Jerusalem and toured the old city with a tour guide named David, who we had hired just for the day. After our tour, David suggested that we go back to the Western Wall in the evening. It was October 6th, the last day of Sukkot, and the beginning of Shabbat. For me, it was the most memorable experiences of the trip, to see families, mothers, fathers, children singing and dancing just hours before the horrible events of October 7th. Our team was in Jerusalem at a hostel Saturday morning, October 7th, getting ready for sightseeing in Bethlehem, Masada, Dead Sea. We had a big itinerary planned for that day when the sirens went off, indicating rockets were heading towards Jerusalem. We were directed to the bomb shelter by the hostel staff. What happened next was truly remarkable. First, I got a call from David, our Israeli tour guide from the day before. He was concerned about us and knew that we had a bus, but we didn't have a tour guide for the next 4 days. And we had previously told him that we were planning on going to Bethlehem and Jericho, and he advised us that those were probably not good places to go that day. And provided us some really good counsel. But he said it would be a good idea. We were planning on going down to Masada, so we went ahead and went down that direction. I also got a call from Ellie and saying that this attack was different than things that had been happening over the last 50 years. And he offered us some wise counsel on where to travel. The teams of the Thunderbolts that we had stayed with also contacted us and said that we could stay with them while we were, you know, in order to find time to get back home. This was a theme that played out over the next 4 days as we were there in Israel. David, our tour guide, certainly had no responsibility for us at this point. We had just met him the one day, and yet he, throughout those 4 days, he was in contact with us nearly every day, helping us, giving us guidance, telling us where to go. And then I also think about the families of the Thunderbolts. Everyone that we talked to had either a family member or someone close to them that they knew that was in the IDF, that was in harm's way, or was going to be in harm's way. And yet they all took time to help us. It was just it was a very humbling experience for us. So then we moved from the Dead Sea up to Tiberias based on suggestions from those that were helping us. The next few days we stayed up in Galilee to figure out how we were going to get out of the country after our flights were canceled. There was one particular time we were up in Tiberias that it was very memorable, and that was so at this point all the shops were closed, restaurants were generally closed. We were in the bus, we were looking for a place that we could find that we could eat, and the streets up in Tiberias at that point were just empty. There were no shops were open. And we noticed on a corner, we were driving up to it, and I looked and I saw there was just all these people gathered around this parking lot, and there was a line that stretched around. There was a building there that the line stretched around. And my initial thought was, oh, maybe this is a place that's open that we could, you know, get something to eat. And as we drove up, we saw what was going on there. There was a bloodmobile there. And the line was stretched around there, people waiting to give blood. And it just reminded me of, the sacrifices that they were making there, that then they knew that they would have to be making in the future. So we were able to eventually we did get out through Ethiopia the following week. But one of the things that I think really summarized the trip for us is my wife and I happened to be near one of the students that was giving a talk in her school. In a school class about her trip. She had put together a presentation about her trip to Israel. And she went through and just told a beautiful story of the people that she met and the experiences that she had. And she talked really very little about the conflict. And at the end of her talk, her teacher asked her, I think we were all kind of asking, thinking why she didn't talk more about the conflict. And her teacher asked her, is there anything that you regret about going on this trip? And we were all kind of thinking, well, you don't want to go into a place where there's a war going on, right? And what she stopped for a minute and she said, I think the thing I regret the most is that I couldn't spend more time with the host families. So, and I think that really really spoke to me they're people just like you and me. They have a rich culture. The relationships that we formed with Ellie and the team will continue. They have a right to regular lives and to protect their kids and families against terror. This is not about politics. It's about the right and the duty of us as Western countries to defend ourselves against pure and evil terror. When our team was over there in Israel, they stood by us, and today we stand with them.
Thank you. This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adensami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Serdorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com.